With the Lord's help, I desire to read from the 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. I'd like to read the first 15 verses. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. I'd like to pause with the reading at verse 15. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May all bow before the Lord in prayer. The brother mentioned in the prayer that request of the Lord that God would help us to trust in him whatever would happen in our lives. And I believe that is the thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart as this passage of scripture had come up and a lesson for us to take with us. The life of Uzziah was a troubled one. It was mixed. But this first half that we have read together, these first 15 verses, describes the good times, the good years in Uzziah's life, when he followed the Lord, when he was obedient, when the country was prospering. But we're going to find out in the end of the chapter that his country was doing fine, but like we heard this morning, our hearts There was pride that came up in his heart, and he had a great fall. And in this very same year that Uzziah died, Isaiah has a vision of the Lord sitting on the throne. And so we see these two things, this great prosperity that comes to children of Israel, this terrible fall of a great leader. But under it all, God in his mercy reminds Isaiah, and is going to remind us, that he is on the throne all the time, and he is always faithful. Sometimes we miss to see that because we get distracted by the comforts and the prosperity that we enjoy. But I think going through this chapter and then seeing what the Lord revealed to Isaiah would help us appreciate some of those more eternal and spiritual lessons that God would have for us. And that we can trust him no matter what, in good times and in times of uncertainty. So Uzziah was made king when he was 16 years old. And you can look around you and ask yourself, for a 16-year-old and wonder, can you imagine all of the men getting together around this 16-year-old boy and saying, we want you to be the king? Well, that's the responsibility that he was placed under. And he made a wise choice when he was young. There was a man named Zechariah who was a prophet who understood the visions of God, who understood God's plan and his word that he was sending to the children of Israel and to the children of Judah. And he used him as a mentor and as an advisor. And the word of God encourages us to do that very same thing. To look into the word, to have understanding, but also to surround ourselves with good counselors, with good mentors, to be able to discern who around me can I look to for a good example, a godly example, to teach me the right way to go. And while Uzziah listened to Zechariah, he was blessed. He was blessed beyond measure. And there are blessings beyond measure to young men who hear the word of God and commit their souls unto the Lord as unto a faithful creator. There are blessings that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him, who choose to use their life, these short few years that you have here below, in service to your Creator, in exchange for eternal life and fellowship with your Creator, joy with God. This is a wise exchange. And week after week, you are invited and bidden to hear that word of wisdom and turn to the Lord for your salvation, because that is the vision of God. That is God's plan. That fallen men might be redeemed, be bought back, be forgiven, and be given a place among God's own in his kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to him be thanks and praise for the wisdom and for teaching us that, and for those who came before us that taught us that and made sure to instill and kept on speaking the message of salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we would have a hope of life eternal. So Uzziah did wisely, and the Lord provided him victories in the battles that he was fighting. And that goes the same for us today in our time of temptation. If we are relying upon the Lord and his wisdom, if we are relying upon him for strength to overcome when the enemy of our soul comes and oppresses us, we'll find victory. We'll find victory through the Lord. And we see that here in Uzziah's case, God helped him and destroy the wall of Gath, the wall where Goliath's birthplace was. And he built cities about it. And the Ammonites, they did not want to fight with Uzziah. They brought him gifts and said, please don't hurt us. We'll give you gifts. We'll give you money. We'll do whatever you ask. Obviously, he had developed a reputation. He had developed a pattern of walking in following the instruction of the Lord, and he developed a reputation so that others around them would know this is not one to be trifled with. Can we imagine about that spiritual battle? Do we patiently listen to the Word of God and heed its guidance so that the Lord would work in our hearts, that we would live by faith, and that testimony of Jesus Christ and his resurrection would be known abroad to bring God glory and praise, that others might worship our Father, which is in heaven. There are so many spiritual parallels to these things that Uzziah did. And we can consider them, because sometimes it's expressed in a different words, a different way than maybe we find in a New Testament passage. And it can make us think a little bit and meditate on that meaning, and that we can know God better when we think about his word in a new light. Uzziah built up the fortifications. He built up the towers. He built up the armies. It counts all the numbers of the men that he had. And he prepared them. He provided for them. He built wells, which water was so essential for life. And he loved husbandry. So he dedicated land to raising flocks and herds. And that would have a definite benefit on all the people, because they would have plenty of water. They would have had plenty of food. They would become like energy independent. These are things that we think of, and like the stock market booming. These are economic wonderful times. Money is pouring into the country. These are good times. We can think about our lives. Policies and various things that happen that cause prosperity. We think, wow, this is wonderful. This is great. Well, there's a time when all that ended. Verse 16 begins with the word but. And that word indicates a turning point. Something's going to change. But when he was strong, the Bible says, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. He was lifted up in pride because of the prosperity that he had accumulated. And he transgressed against the Lord. And he did something that maybe we wouldn't think twice about, but he goes into the temple and offers incense. This is something that God had ordained that the priests would do. And so this didn't belong to him. But he felt powerful. He felt strong and like he could do something. You know, there was once a day in Uzziah's life when he was listening to his counselors. He was listening to his teachers. And he was abiding in that. Isn't that how life is? When we're children, we learn from our parents. We stick with them. We stay by their side. But then we grow up. We might get a job and we get some resources. And then opportunities open up themselves for us that we didn't have before. We didn't even think of before. And we say, I can do that. Never even thought of it before. And now there's an opportunity. And it doesn't belong to him, and it becomes a snare. I think that's a challenge that each and every one of us are going to have to weigh when we think about, even as we heard this morning, the things that belong to Caesar. Our earthly possessions, can they become a snare to me, to lead me into things that really don't belong to me, as a believer in Christ? Well, Azariah the priest, he goes in after him with 80 men, 80 valiant men, priests that are willing to stand up against a king who had 300,000 soldiers at his command. This is a test of their faith, isn't it? To stand up against a king who has power to perhaps send them, kill them all. But they chose to stand up for the Lord and his word. And in their faithful desire, none of their names are listed. But they put their lives on the line for God's honor and are not forgotten before the Lord. Isn't that true for many? Many we know that we value their example, and they serve the Lord faithfully, maybe even have passed on to their reward. But their names are not written down for the world to see. But that is okay. They had a place in God's plan, and we have a place in God's plan. It may not be in the place of a king, but we're entrusted the word of God and should stand by it, even at the risk of our life. This is what the Lord demands. What the Lord calls us to. This is the outworking of our faith. So they withstood him. And Uzziah was about to burn this incense, and the priests of Aaron tell him that he had trespassed, and this is not going to be for thine honor from the Lord God. This is not going to end well, Uzziah. And Uzziah was angry. He was furious at them. He was angry for correcting them, for telling them that he was doing wrong or doing something that didn't pertain to him. And as he was holding this censer in his hand that was burning incense, and he's looking at them, leprosy begins to develop in his forehead. And you can imagine him just wrinkling up his forehead in anger. And from those wrinkles comes the leprosy and that white skin, that decay and the disease right in front of them. An embarrassing sight, an embarrassing thing for a king to become so unclean. Well, the priest thrust him out, and even himself, it says in verse 20, yea, himself also hasted to go out because the Lord had smitten him. He was ready to leave. He had learned, but he received a judgment for what he had done, a very visible one. And he was a leper unto the day of his death. For that one day of going out into something that didn't belong to him, he became a leper until his death, and was cut off from the house of the Lord, unable to enter in again for worship or for any other reason. How quickly things changed. Things were so good. The land was prospering under him. The people were reaping the benefits of being able to be born into that generation. And now what? The king who was so strong, who led our soldiers into battle, he scared all of our enemies and had them coming to us and giving us gifts. Now what's going to happen to our country? Now what's going to happen to our pleasures and our comforts? The people are going to be wondering, what now? And we could be wondering, what's going to come? What does the future hold? Does it look bright? Will it be for thine honor from the Lord God, what is taking place? The Lord knows. The Lord knows, and he visits and helps his own. In this very tumultuous year, the prophet Isaiah writes. We turn to Isaiah chapter 6. He writes and describes the vision, because the Lord had something for Isaiah to remember and to learn, because Isaiah was going through these very experiences, these highs of life, and then this seemingly catastrophe. In Isaiah 6, he writes, "In the year that King Uzziah died," that fateful year, where maybe many were thinking, it's all over. That's it. Let's throw in the towel. God had a message for Isaiah. "In that year, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah is beholding this vision of the Lord. This vision that the Lord, I believe, desires for each of us to have. To remember that the Lord is on the throne, not on a throne of a small area of this world, but of the throne of heaven. And the nations will become his. And the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And how small Uzziah looks now when he was in the temple offering that incense and that smoke from that small censer. But in the Lord's temple, it is full of the smoke, of the prayers, of the reverence to God. All of the posts of the door are moved at the voice of him that cried. And Isaiah is beholding this and realizing how small he is and how small his circumstances truly were. "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." How precious it is that the Lord opened up Isaiah's eyes to see who is the true King, the Lord of hosts. And also, even as we were reminded this morning, that when he saw this truth, that he saw his own heart. He saw himself and his surroundings, and said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." He humbled himself in the sight of God when he realized the truth that he had been missing, perhaps, or not had in quite so clear of a vision. Things came into alignment. And that can only happen when God's truth is revealed to our hearts. Things will be out of joint and out of place in life and in this world. And we see that there's a futility in it without the Lord. Only when we see that the Lord, he is working all things together for the good of those that have been called by him, and that each and every single event in this world stage is going to culminate in God's glory and in his dominion and in his praise, that we realize there is a purpose. And we tremble To think that God can use this world to bring him glory. And we marvel at the idea that perhaps the Lord is revealing this to us so that we can play a part. It seems so unlikely. And were it not for the Lord, it would have been impossible. The Lord intervenes and makes it possible for us to be a part of his plan and to be a part of his kingdom. We see that the Lord sent a seraphim unto Isaiah. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Not even an angel in all of his strength was willing to touch this coal, but grabbed it with the tool, and then he laid it on Isaiah's mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." There is a healing, and there is a purging. It is not a comfortable one. And we know that this is a foreshadowing of going to the cross, of dying to self, allowing the Lord to cleanse us and to purge from us the things that are not as they should be, are not pleasing to him. And nobody would choose this. We would wish that there would be another way. But this is the Lord's way to cleansing. To take away our sins by Christ and his shed blood upon that cross that we must love and cherish. How much it must have hurt. Your lips are so sensitive to even the smallest scratch. Why not some other part of my life? Why that one, Lord? Why that one most sensitive, most precious? The thing that I was hoping to use for you more. But we need to become nothing, so that he can become everything. And the things that we hold precious, even as we heard this morning, so many parallels, those coins that were in the hands of the men, they need to be rendered where they belonged. And ourselves, we who are made in the image of God, needs to be rendered where it belongs, into the hands of God, that he would do with us as he wills, to purge us, to cleanse us, and to make us ready. Because there's a request that's coming. There's a request that's coming for you. There's a request that's coming for me, that laborers are called into the harvest. Isaiah heard the call as well. He said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" And only after Isaiah had been purged and been cleansed by the Lord in his way was he ready. And he was able to say, "Then said I, here am I, send me. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be used." Little did he know that he was being sent to a people that would never listen to him. It's not what you think of when you think of going into the mission field. But God chooses the timing for our life and our circumstances, whether prosperity or collapse. It is God who provides the way of cleansing for our souls. And there is only one way. And it's God who calls us to his service. Let's look up to the Lord to be ready when he calls us. May God bless his word.
I believe that many times when we see the world for what it really is, when we look around about us and we see that there is nothing but evil everywhere, we can be tempted to think that this is in accordance with God's will, that he takes pleasure in this. But we know that that is not the case. God uses the evil that men do, and he uses it for his honor and for his glory. As Robert mentioned, that everything will culminate to bringing God's glory. All the evil that is round about us will continue until it comes to an end, and then God will be glorified, and every knee will bow before Jesus Christ and confess that he is Lord. That is the ultimate ending. That is what everything is leading to. God sees the evil in this world for what it really is. That doesn't mean that he takes pleasure in it, but he allows it to happen. God is allowing the evil of this world so that he could bring about his honor and his glory. Let's not be tempted to think that the Lord does not see, that the Lord has forsaken us. Even we just sang in the song that God has never forsaken us, and thanks be to him for that. For if he were to forsake us, we'd be helpless. We'd have no hope. But God uses the evil of this world for his honor and for his glory. Let's never forget that. In times when the future looks dark and drear, it feels like there's no hope, let's remember that the Lord is ultimately in control. He is in control, and he will bring about his honor and his glory. In those times of temptation, when the devil comes to us and he tells us that the Lord doesn't care about us, let's think upon what Isaiah was shown. He was showed that the Lord is high and lifted up. He's high and lifted up. He is in glory. And let's in those times of temptation and trial, let's trust in him. Let's trust in him that he can give us all that we need so we can be with him in glory forever. Let's let that be our ultimate goal, that we would never think the Lord has forsaken us. He's given us all that we need. He's given us his only Son. Nothing more can be given. Let's take that perfect gift that's been given to us, and let's trust him for everything that we need in our lives. And God bless his word in our hearts, in this day and each and every day of our lives. Amen.